I want to put it in the context of the church because what I see is sometimes an unhealthy self-control. It's more like a self-preservation as opposed to a complete pouring out. St. Paul likens the church, Christ's love for the church, as a marriage. He says that the love of Christ, and from his side comes this bride, as Adam came from the side of Eve. So from the side of Christ comes this church. What flowed out of the side of Christ was blood and water. Where do we find it? In the church. So as Adam from his side comes Eve, so from Christ from his side comes the church. I think that somewhere along the line, we have gotten somewhat quasi and painfully sort of this mindset of preventing the mercy of God from flowing through our availability. Years ago, I heard this phrase, and I think it's very appropriate, and I've often questioned myself about it. It's called this idea of spiritual contracepting our people. It may be the first time that you've ever heard of that. In my opinion, it looks like confessions from 4 to 4:45. That's what it looks like to me. In my opinion, it's not hearing confessions after daily mass. I'm preventing the flow of new life into that person. In my opinion, it looks like office hours from 9 to 5, as opposed to 9 to whatever the single mom or father is working in your parish. In my opinion, it looks like a lot of other things. Not having appointments on Saturdays. Not having appointments on Sundays. When people who have two jobs only have the time to make it. But in a way, we've sort of contracepted that. I refuse to give you life. I'm not saying that every priest has the same zeal and certainly same energy or health. But I will say that I think there's a subtle self-preservation there. I think that in the same ways, I think some couples have done the same thing in terms of their preservation. They're preserving themselves. I don't know exactly why. They refuse to pour themselves out. The Christian man or woman is not the well-rested man or woman. It's the exhausted man or woman who waits for eternal life to rest. That's the Christian man or woman. Because the rest that the world offers to you, folks, is not rest. It seeks to control you, isolate you, and draw you into lukewarmness. Lukewarmness, you're neither hot nor cold, according to Scripture. But Scripture makes it clear, you are rejected. It's the one that has a foot in both worlds, the godly world and the world, but doesn't go into the world with that godly vision. Today in the first reading from Peter, he talks about self-control. As couples, I think that you want to understand that the gift of your sexuality is a gift. It's never to be taken for granted. And it is certainly not meant for objectification or a tug of war. People sometimes will say, well, I don't think the church should make that pronunciation, and yet Scripture talks about the objectification of women. So they say, well, it shouldn't be in our bedroom. And I say at the same time, okay, but what about, does the church have the voice to say, well, there should be no violence in the home. There should be no abuse. There should be none of the other things that go. Does the church just stop at the doorstep? And if it says, well, no, it's allowed in the room, then why shouldn't it be allowed in the most sacred place of your house? Folks, your home is a domestic church. That's what the church has taught. To allow sinful actions, pornography, contraception, all of that to let enter into your house is to say, I am the owner of this house, when it is God's home. It's a domestic church. It's meant to be a church. You want to be very careful because your bedroom is your sanctuary and your bed is your altar. Make sure you realize that the bed doesn't become a tug of war, a place where there's objectification or selfishness. Everything that enters into that bedroom is a gift. It's a gift from God. And people have different needs and different desires. But you have to pray that your desires and your needs match your spouse. Have the need and the desire that they match. I have a desire as the priest of my home to pour the seed of forgiveness into my spiritual children. Many of them don't want it. So it's a rejection of the priesthood and the mercy because they don't think they need it. So there is a rejection of the gift. It's painful to see, but it's a reality. But I wonder, when you are together with your spouse, are you very sensitive to what is taking place there? God is in that moment. It's not an individual self-seeking. It is not for my own personal gratification. You have to recognize that the person that you are there in that moment with is of God. It is something of God there. It is a powerful reminder, because if I don't have self-control, as St. Paul's, from the letter of St. Peter says, then how will I ever have the ability to sacrifice? So when you sacrifice, like giving up Coca-Cola or whatever, it leads you so that the most beautiful act of sacrifice is an act of intimacy with your spouse. It is the most beautiful act of sacrifice. Why? I am offering myself completely to God in the fullness of this embrace. In the fullness of the embrace. So all of the sacrifices and all of the things that I go through in order to build up that endurance, then it comes to a moment of grace in that marriage. Why is this so essential? Because your sexuality is godly. Your sexuality allows you to create. It's a powerful, powerful tool. Why did God give that? And here's what's even funnier. Our hearts are so fickle that the baby that is created looks like us. Think about it. God wants you to love so much that he makes a baby that looks like you. Because who would love an elephant or a gorilla? That's how much God sees our hearts need to learn how to love. Just look at how God created. He wants that baby to have your nose or her eyes or whatever. And yet, do you realize the power of love? Failing to do so will then prevent you from overcoming your expectations in marriage. Your expectations. The foundation stone for marriage is the offering of yourself. The offering of yourself to God through your spouse. To God through your spouse. And no one sins in isolation. I think the most beautiful thing I always think about is the spouse's sin affects the spouse. And a priest's sin affects his people. So if I am in mortal sin, my people at St. Andrew's are suffering. I don't like to think about it, but it's true, because that's my bride. In like manner, folks, if you have that same sin, your spouse is suffering. And I think that's where the church has said, well, yeah, come on by at 3 to 3:45 on a Saturday. That's a real convenient time. Like, who goes then? It's one of the few practices of the church that we keep doing that aren't working, that we keep doing. And for some reason we know it's not working, but we keep doing it that way. And then the end result is people don't come. As opposed to saying, like a 7-Eleven, well, 9 to 5 isn't the only time people need a big gulp. Might as well go 24/7. I think the question is that you have to go to their pastor and be like, hey, can we have more confession time? I know that you can go in by appointment, but seriously, sometimes you don't want your priest to know who you are. And sometimes you just want to go anonymously. I think that's a question that needs to be posed to the church. The availability of mercy. The availability of mercy. Because it's a form of contraception. Contra, against, ception, life. Spiritual contraception. I don't know what the solution is, other than that the church wants confession and that the saints have modeled for this. Padre Pio, St. John Vianney, Mother Teresa's sisters go all the time, right? And I think that once that we recognize the power of the mercy, then we will recognize how to bring healing to families. Can I just give you some catechesis? Like, I'm not a priest because I just want to live like a celibate social life and collect spoons, right? Like, what a great life. I'm a priest because I want to get you to heaven. And the dinner or golf, it only has one purpose. Like, is this going to be something of God or not? Granted, when we play as priests, that's not very godly, okay? We all go to confession on the 19th hole. Anyway. But I want to give you, like, a deeper understanding that if you guys can authentically bring some conversion, then I think that we will send a message of hope. It's only done through friendship. Friendship with your priests, if it's possible. And trying to help them recognize. Yeah, but Father, sometimes 3:45 doesn't work on a Saturday. I'm cutting the lawn and I'm doing the gutters and all this other stuff. And then I think that how can I build up my family all the time? Anyway, what I've seen is I've seen major conversions in my parishes. JDW had a ton of conversions. And St. Andrew's now, because we hear them every Sunday morning. It's just common sense. It's either go celebrate Mass or watch Good Morning America, right? I might as well be over hearing confessions. But I just want you to kind of take that away. That how is there going to be endurance unless there's self-control, as Peter says? And then there's devotion. So look at what he says in the context of confession. So knowledge of your sins gives self-control. Self-control gives endurance, right? So you get the grace of the sacrament, then you can endure, not scream, not bark, be gentle. Endurance will then lead you to prayer with your spouse, because if I'm in mortal sin, I'm not going to want to pray with you. So I'll have devotion with you, sweetheart. I'll do this. Devotion will lead me to affection, because I will not feel that I'm like the broken wheel all the time because of my anger or my struggles. And then that mutual affection will lead to a deeper love. It's something really to pray about. And I think that we can stand on the truth of the church, right? That mercy and the year of mercy and what the saints have done and what the church wants, it's all there, man. But I have to love you so much that as a priest I have to have self-control. And instead of just saying Mass and going back to the rectory and having my coffee and ho-ho, I need to have self-control for another half hour and sit in the confessional. Or desire and preach on it to bring people mercy. Anyway, I pray that you see what I'm driving at and that you have just this incredible awareness that friendship will bring this, maybe to this, make the sacrament more available. I think unless we bring people to this, I think we shouldn't be surprised that people give up, because the evil one suffocates them and tells them there's no hope. And I've literally seen countless people and marriages turn around through the confessional. Countless. Just like when, like, there's no hope, my spouse hates me, my kids, and I'm done with it. I'm done with God. And then I've seen mercy. And before you know it, as the church says, it's progress. It's a process of mercy, of mercy, of mercy, of mercy, over and over and over. And then there will be conversion. Let us pray that we can always be life bearers, and that my life-bearing will bear fruit in you, and that you all will also sacrifice as well and live out a mutually life-giving, generous marriage.